Okay, what day is it today?
What day is today?
Friday.
So tell me, what are your plans for the weekend?
Weekend plans?
Any parties going on?
But I'm going to party. We're going to party like it's 1999.
What year do you think it is?
Honestly, I have no clue.
But I do know. I do know.
The weekend starts here.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you to get your Friday going. I like that one. That was a good one. Anything that pulls Prince, I'm gonna play it. I'm definitely gonna get that.
Yeah.
And I'm also gonna have that song in my head all day now. Maybe all weekend.
Well, you did it to yourself.
I kind of did.
Yeah.
We're going to get into some entertainment news in a moment. A little bit later, Melissa and I are going to dive into the best songs to sing along to in the car. I got that one coming up. We're also going to talk to you about the Pernisad meteor shower this weekend. I want to talk with you a little bit about that, Melissa. Got a That Ain't Right story coming up a little bit later. You have to hear to believe. we'll get into that, along with, of course, some good stories of the day. Got those lined up for you as well. Let's dive right into entertainment, Mel.
Okay.
And one of my favorite people under the sun, Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist, much like Bill Nye and some of these other great minds that can talk about these things. One of the things that I enjoy and love about them is they don't talk down to people. They don't pretend that they are the smartest person in the room. They understand that as much as they know, there is so much we don't know.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate the way that they can break things down to where even I can understand it. Like, I love going down rabbit holes about space and the universe, but there's some big words.
Right. It's like they explain like I'm five,
yes.
But they do it in a way that doesn't make you feel stupid.
One of my favorite lines in movie history, in the movie Philadelphia, Denzel Washington's character has a couple moments where he goes, "Explain it to me like I'm an 8-year-old." I've always loved that phrase. I've always liked that. And people that can do that, I think it's a talent. It's a skill set. I don't think many people can do that. I think of Mr. Wizard when we were kids and, you know, people like that that can explain these concepts. Warren Buffett is pretty good at this, too, when it comes to economics, I think.
Well, and then you've got all the wonderful teachers that have that capability of doing that and bringing it down so that we can understand and learn.
Right on, Mel. Right on. In case you were wondering where Barbie Land would be located in the real world, astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson did the work for us.
Oh, wow.
He says, quote, "In Barbie, the moon's orientation places Barbie World between 20 and 40 degrees north latitude on Earth. Palm trees further constrain latitude between 20 and 30 degrees. The sun and moon rose and set over the sun. If it's in the U.S., Barbie World lands somewhere in the Florida Keys."
Okay.
And part of the reason I think he does these things is one, for fun. I think he enjoys it and everything. But it's also, it's a great way of advertising astrophysics. Astrophysics. Getting people interested in the field, getting more and more younger people to care about looking up and caring about the universe and getting interested in and learning more about it. We need more Neil deGrasse Tysons in the world.
We do.
That's so good. I'm so glad he did that. I have not seen the Barbie movie. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't know if I'm going to see it. I don't have that much time. I watch a lot of movies and a lot of shows, but I cram them into my night usually. So I don't want to lie and say I'm definitely going to see it, but I wouldn't turn it off if somebody I was watching, sitting around with TV and they wanted to watch it or something, I might watch it. But I love that they do these kind of things.
Yes.
Are you going to see the Barbie movie?
You know, there's so many movies I haven't seen, James. But if the opportunity presented itself, I probably will, because I've heard so many good things about it. And of course, there's so much pushback on it. But I played with Barbies when I was a little girl. And I think that there's so many people I've seen say, "I was never going to see it. It's stupid," that have come back and said, "Oh my gosh, was I so wrong?"
Yeah, yeah. I've heard
it was amazing.
I've heard a lot of that. I've even heard that a lot from men. So, you know, I don't think that it's a movie that only one of the sexes can see or something like that. I think it's interesting how big it's gotten. And again, shout out to their director, first female in director history to have a $1 billion movie. Wolfgang Van Halen, the son of the great Eddie Van Halen, learned a lot from his time in Van Halen in the band when he was sitting in with his dad and filling in for a bass player that they used to have, including what not to do when he got his own band. He says, quote, "With Van Halen, I learned a lot of how I didn't want things to go with Mammoth. Why do we need to be walking around on eggshells? Why is there a problem all the time? Like, why can't we just get along and play music?" He added, quote, "That was one of the main things that with Mammoth was to build this healthy core of people on the inside that can't be swayed and that can weather any storm throughout anything we need to."
Yeah,
I will say that 90% of bands start out this way. I don't think 90% of bands start out with a kid that has this background. So I think that favors him. I think that helps him being a part, not only the son of a rock legend, but his uncle, obviously, being the drummer in the band. So that has some play in there, too. He grew up in this industry. So I don't want to completely squash what he's saying, but I also can't imagine how many bands started out. "We're never going to be like this band. We're never going to break up," or, you know, that kind of thing. It happens.
Well, you always want to start out with the best of intentions.
Yeah, yeah. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And
it's not like you want to go in going, "You know what? Let's get tore apart by women who love shoes and people with drug problems."
Right, right.
That's exactly our goal.
Yeah, yeah. Well done. Well done. This is one of those weird ones, Melissa. Weird things for me. I don't like promoting people that I feel like get way too much press as it is. Mm-hmm. We've seen this before. We've seen what can happen when you feed that kind of beast to the most highest of degrees in our country. So I don't throw these names around lightly. I'm doing this more to make fun of them.
Okay.
And I hope I do a good enough job of that, because Elon Musk is now backing off and decided he's not going to fight Mark Zuckerberg at all.
Oh, how big of him?
How many times have I been saying this? That's why I was saying all along they should have to fight, like two prize fighters. They should have to sign a contract where they actually have to fight. You shouldn't be able to talk this stuff. Just a couple of little doggies barking. That's all him and Mark Zuckerberg are. Earlier this week, he said he might need surgery before a fight could happen. And now he suggested that they just talk things out.
Well, like they were ever going to fight anyway. My goodness, the stupidest thing ever.
And what... Who's watching a debate with Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg?
Right.
What great intelligence are we going to pull from this conversation? You have two people here that made their name off of other people. These are not geniuses. They're very, very intelligent people in their fields. In their fields. We have to stop saying that, well, because this guy invented this or did this or was part of the invention of this, that means that they're smart about other stuff. Like, I mean, we do this to athletes and celebrities all the time, where you shut up. I don't want to hear who you voted for. You shut up and dribble, you know, that kind of thing, which obviously makes no sense and I think is ridiculous. But we're going to do it to them, but we're not going to do it to these billionaires. We're not going to do it to the top 1%. When especially, like, take a look at that top 1%. For one, it's down to, like, not even a full percent anymore. And the majority of people that are in that body have not earned their place there. They've earned it off of the backs of others. They didn't do it because, like, Henry Ford or somebody like that who invented something or what have you or something. And it was
given to them, or it was made off of the backs of others. And they have no concept of reality that the rest of us live in. None.
There has literally never been dirt under either of their fingernails. Like, I can't take anybody serious that has never gotten literally their hands in the dirt, that has never had to work for a paycheck or anything. I'm sorry. You can't help with the family you're born into. And I don't begrudge that. But you also don't have to pretend that you're something you're not, or act like you're the smartest person in the room when you may not even be the smartest person in your company.
And, you know, they surround themselves with people who tell them that they are smart, that they are attractive, that they are, you know, so they do really legitimately live in an alternate reality than the rest of us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in a maybe a tiny way, I can give them a pass for that. But why are the rest of us making them out to be these amazing human beings? Mm-hmm. Why? When they're not, they're nothing like us.
Mm-hmm. I also have to say that alternate reality they live in is probably doing better than the metaverse that Zuckerberg created. It's probably doing better than that. Probably.
You could, more people exist there.
If you want to look at things to learn from Elon or Markey here, learn how not to run a company. Learn how, if you want to see how to destroy a $1 billion like company or something like that, just look at what they've been able to do. Incredibly good at not doing what they're supposed to do.
That and not paying taxes.
What Wolfgang is saying about what he learned from Van Halen, we're all learning from these guys about how not to run a business if we ever do. Like, I'm just marking this down. Don't be like Elon. Okay, there we go. This is pretty cool. Let's go ahead and take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, if only all the kids that we raise nowadays would end up like Edward Snowden, I think we'd all live in a lot safer place.
Interesting thought. Interesting thought. Well, I think there's going to be a lot more of that than not. So, got a point there. Appreciate the call, man. Have a good weekend. Always good to talk to our listeners. Keep them coming, everybody. 424-2600. We'd love to hear from you. I was going to mention, I was talking to my ex-wife yesterday, and she is going to the Pink concert that's coming up in, I believe, Milwaukee. Or no, it's not Milwaukee, but there's a big Pink show coming up. And she's going to that. And I know another person that's going. My sister is one of the biggest Pink fans I've ever known. She's from like Die Hard, from her first single to like anything else she's done. A big fan of hers.
Yeah, it is in Milwaukee at American Family Field.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa. Mm-hmm. You might be a big Pink fan out there. I don't know, but I don't know if you're as big of a fan as Angela Mercer is. Angela Mercer traveled with her mom and her sister-in-law from Albany, New York to Boston to see Pink's show at Fenway Park on July 31st. She was only 31 weeks pregnant, so she was a little surprised when she started going into labor shortly after she got to the stadium.
Oh my.
They called her doctor and he told her to get to the hospital ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
Due to all the concert traffic, they had to walk to Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital, where Angela gave birth to a baby boy. They're both doing very well. And congratulations to her.
Yeah, no kidding.
They named him Asen Hart. The heart is a nod to Pink because that's her married name, thanks to her husband, Carrie Hart.
and
the baby's dad's name is Ace, so kind of a female version of that.
Ace and Hart.
Even though he was premature, it sounds like Asen is doing just fine. It is incredible to me. There's a couple of layers to this story, so give me a second. My sister being a preemie, I was born early. This always hits my heart when I hear these things, and it can't be normalized in our society how far we have come with this, where a child can be born months early, and it's more likely that it survives than not. That isn't the case in 90% of human history. You know, it's only been the last couple hundred years that we've been able to pull this off. That's incredible to me. That's just beautiful. Awesome. Shout out to those doctors, those nurses, everybody involved in that. I have no doubt that Pink is going to hear this story and turn this into something. She has done it before with similar stories and everything. So be on the lookout for that. And a shout out to Pink. You talk about somebody who appreciates their fan base. That woman really, truly does.
But she's in the middle of a tour, so she's a little busy right now.
True. I got to send a gigantic shout out to this woman. Like
walking to the hospital in labor.
I got to say, I don't know if they have other kids, but this is like one of the concerns about being when you're you know, expecting your first child is the situations you can't plan for or the the stuff coming out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
You're at a rock concert, one of the biggest ones there is, and you have to get out of there. I mean, just having that thrown at you, let alone being pregnant and all these other things that I can't even wrap my mind around as a man. I don't know what was going through her head, but she locked in. She focused. She found where she needed to be. She was in another town. She wasn't even in the same town she's used to. So finding where to go and where to leave and all this stuff. Like, I just am blown away by this story. That woman's a superhero to me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that story that kid is going to have.
So, yeah, no kidding. So glad both of them are okay.
You think I ramble about being born on a white couch in the middle of a snowstorm 2 months early. You think I ramble about that story a lot. Think about what this kid's going to tell.
Pink concert.
This kid's got to talk, man. And finally, we wrap up with what's new in theaters. I got a couple of big ones coming out. Gran Turismo, based on the video game, starring Archie Madicow, Orlando Bloom, David Harbour, Damon Huston, all in that one, rated PG-13.
Okay.
And looks pretty good, especially if you like the video game. And it's based on a true story where they took a kid that was really, really good at the video game and like put him on a real track.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll say Orlando Bloom, David Harbour, and Damon Huston all have something very deep in common. They don't seem to choose bad scripts. Granted, this is a movie that has a lot of money behind it, so maybe the paycheck helped, but I don't see those three gentlemen choosing bad movies very often, so it looks pretty good. And if you're looking for something to see this weekend, that's a good one. I am very excited about this. I don't get into horror movies very often, unless it's an original idea. The Last Voyage of the Demeter, it's based on the chapter The Captain's Log from Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh.
It follows the strange and horrific events that happened to the crew aboard the Demeter ship on the voyage from Romania to London, where they're carrying the private cargo, 50 unmarked wooden crates, and good old Drac. It stars Corey Hawkins, good actor, Liam Cunningham, who is an amazing actor with a wonderful voice. You know him from Game of Thrones. And a couple of other good actors are in this one, too. I'll admit, I'm a big fan of the Dracula story and that, but I haven't watched a Dracula movie or a vampire movie in ages because they haven't had really any real original tales or anything like that. And if you're a fan of it, that's your business, but I am not into my vampires can't sparkle. I'm sorry. I am not into the sparkly vampire thing. It's not my thing. That right away, out the gate, I'm watching, with an ex, I'm watching the first 5 minutes of Twilight or whatever, and she starts telling me about the vampire's twinkle. Like, nope, I'm out. I'm sorry. I'm done. No. I don't care if they look like Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, but you lose me at the sparkling thing. I'm done. I'm done right there. This is a different tale on the story. It's an interesting tale, and it's... It is, I think, one of those things that if you've been on a boat even once in your life, you can have some kind of like feeling to. It's kind of cool. Kind of a cool idea.
And I wonder if he actually appears at all in the movie, Dracula.
It seems like in the trailers he does. It seems in the trailers, Drac gets hungry.
Because the description says Dracula's unholy presence dooms the crew of the merchant ship Demeter.
Yeah. I don't know if they pull it off or not, but the concept seems pretty good. And you're pulling from the original source material, which is always cool to me. Another thing that we've noticed, and this happened with Bram Stoker's Dracula that Francis Ford Coppola did, when they do these movies, there tends to be a rise in the book sales and people reading the books. So, you know, that's always a nice advantage, a fun thing to come out of those.
Side
benefit. Thing. Yeah.
Yes, there we go. That's the word.
I couldn't think of it either.
Teamwork.
Nice. We'll come back with the best songs to sing along with in the car coming up. On the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, and we're about to get into the best songs to sing along to in the car. It's a little interesting that this bumper would come up because of all the songs that I probably ran around the apartment singing along to and driving my parents crazy. This is one of the biggest ones.
Oh, really?
And it just happened to pop up. That's hilarious. There are no coincidences. Julian Lennon's Much Too Late for Goodbyes. My dad will, for the rest of my life, tease me. I was like 7, 8 years old or whatever, running around singing this song. And him being the son of John Lennon, my dad being the biggest Beatles fan I've ever known, I couldn't wait to tell my dad, Julian's going to be huge, Dad. He's going to be huge. He's going to be a big star. Tons of hits. That was it. That was his one hit. Has had a great musical career behind the scenes and doing production and everything like that. One of the more sought after producers, especially in Europe. But I was a little off on his pop hits.
Crystal Ball and all that.
It's still a great, fun song to sing along to. I'm going to be listening to that in 1999 this week, and I know I am. Do you have a favorite song that you like to sing to in the car? Well, 2,000 people were surveyed to reveal the 40 best songs to sing along to during their next drive.
40.
It's worth mentioning that these are the results of a British poll, so some of those choices might not be the ones you'd make. But two things here for everybody. 1-424-2600. Feel free to give us your favorite songs to sing when you're having a rock concert or a concert in your car.
In your car, yep.
And we'll keep this one going. I want to keep this one going into next week and as long as we want, everybody. So keep this story in your head. And also, so Melissa's on the phone, and just for people to understand the board a little bit here, when I play audio off of our system, off of the computer, Melissa can't always hear it. So I don't want to play snippets of the songs, although I was going to play some of them, and then my computer crashed on me. So I'm going
to... We'll just have to sing them, James.
Oh, Mel. Melissa. I'm all nervous in my head because I'm like, I'm going to put her on the spot and I don't want to do that, but I can't help it because she's got a good voice. I was going to say, Mel, if you want to sing any of these, any little bits of any of these, now you don't have to sing the whole song, obviously, but
obviously.
If you happen to know any of these and you want to sing any of them, please feel free to.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and start at number 10, Born to Run from Bruce Springsteen.
Ooh, I know this one, but I can't recall.
Baby, we were born to run.
You got it.
You got to mumble some of it, though. Don't feel bad not knowing it. Not a lot of people other than Bruce know his songs.
Know the lyrics. It's okay. Just make them up. But you get the born to run.
Yes, baby, we were born to run. You need the saxophone right away. They hit it right after. I could see that. I could see that being a fun one to sing. Happy from Pharrell Williams.
Oh, yeah. I don't know the words to that one either. I know the tune.
Yeah.
But that's a fun one to sing along with, though.
I'm not a big pop music guy, but I have to admit that once we kind of got away from that one being overplayed, when it shows up in movies or on a commercial or I hear it on the radio, it does get me bobbing my head. It does get me. It's a pretty good one. Pharrell Williams is such a great producer. Sex on Fire from Kings of Leon.
Yeah. Don't know that one.
That's a fun one to sing along to. That is a fun one. And I'm seeing a pattern already. So much of this is about the refrain. It's not so much about the lyrics or the middle.
Verses.
You got to hit that refrain. It's got to be something. It's got to be something like that where the singer really belts it and everything. And I really apologize to the audience. I swear to God, I did not mean to do that. I was just thinking out loud. I did not mean to actually sing there for a second. Let's hope that doesn't happen again.
I'm encouraging it.
Number 7, Mr. Brightside from The Killers. That's a fun one.
It is.
A little more moodier.
A little bit more,
But that's a good one. That's a good one. I think that could be a fun one to sing along to. They've actually got one or two songs that I think are pretty good for your concert in your car. Number 6, Go Your Own Way from Fleetwood Mac.
You can go your own way.
Go your own way.
Yeah, that's a good one to sing along with in the car.
I almost think almost every Fleetwood Mac song that's popular, least, is good to sing in the car.
Absolutely.
I don't know if there's many that aren't. I will say, though, that's one of those bands that you really have to be a confident singer because you're not letting other people hear you sing that song, singing along with Stevie Nicks if you can't sing. We got a caller calling up. What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm just a girl once again asking for funding to start a Disney-themed karaoke bar.
Yes.
We have to market this. We have to copyright this right now. And you just get going with that idea.
Oh, we might get in a fight with Disney, though. But, that's okay.
Details.
We just tinker with the stuff. We just do what the South Park guys do. You just tinker with things a little bit. You can get away with it copyright-wise.
There we go.
Instead of let it go, let it snow. I don't know. I mean, you guys are the more singer types. I don't know.
That's not bad. Not bad.
Do you have a go-to song that you like to sing along to in the car?
Well, anything that Claudio Sanchez is singing, anything by Coheed and Cambria, typically I will sing at the top of my lungs. But the conversations that you guys have been having brings up a very specific time memory where I sat parked in my driveway with my best friend Jamie, and we were singing Cher's If I Could Turn Back Time with Reckless Abandon.
Mm-hmm.
While none of us were there, every one of us could picture that in our head. Every one of us.
Could turn back time. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was hitting the town like I had watched Will and Grace my entire childhood.
Nice.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for the call. You have a great morning.
You too.
That was good. That was good. Great call. Keep those calls coming, everybody. Best listeners in radio. At number five, Bat Outta Hell from Meatloaf. Yeah. Now, that is one of those ones where I think, actually, it's not just the refrain. It's people liking to sing along with certain parts of the lyrics.
Well, the lyrics are kind of fun.
Yeah.
There's a man in the shadows with a gun in his eye.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Meatloaf, underrated lyricist, I think.
There's evil in the air and thunder in the sky.
Yeah. I mean, just some really good lyrics from him. And that's a fun one. He's got at least, I think, Bat Outta Hell and Bat Outta Hell 2, I think, are probably both could be thrown into that list. Don't get mad at me for this next one, everybody. I think that there's a lot of people out there that are a little tired of this one, but Sweet Caroline from Neil Diamond.
Ugh, I'm not singing it.
I thought that was going to happen.
No.
I thought that was. 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. 715-424-2600. This is a good one, Melissa. I told you. We got to keep this one going next week and a week after. Mm-hmm. Sweet Caroline has gotten a real following with baseball and everything. It's tied to the Boston Red Sox, and our rafters play it. And, you know, it's become very popular at ballparks. So I think that's
blah,
one of those
blah,
ones.
Blah, blah.
Well, I feel that way in about number three on the list. And I'm going to lose some people on this one. And I understand that. I don't want to come across like a music snob. If you like it, that's all that matters. I personally got very burnt out from Bon Jovi. So Living on a Prayer, I flipped the channel, whereas 90% of the audience out there is going to turn it up and start singing along. And more power
to you. Absolutely.
I will admit, if Wanted Dead or Alive comes on, I will sing along to it. I'm not inhuman to Bon Jovi. I get some of it.
We're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer.
God, I could do karaoke with you all night. I love this. We got keep this one going. And at number two on the list, ABBA. Dancing Queen. Gotta have
Dancing
that.
Dancing Queen. Young and sweet, only 17. Yeah.
I don't know what they were listening to in the car, but I could swear it was ABBA. And I remember seeing a car in front of me juke a little bit. And I swear they were trying to dance in the car while they were singing.
Oh, yeah. Because how can you not with some of them?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, stay safe, everybody.
Yep. You can move your shoulders a little, bob your head, just pay attention to
hands
the road.
Hands on the wheel, though.
Yes, hands on the wheel, and please pay attention to the dang road. And number one on the list, Don't Stop Me Now from Queen.
Ah, yes.
Not the song I thought they were going to go with from Queen.
Oh, really?
I would think Bohemian Rhapsody or We Are the Champions or, the Queen's got a lot of songs, I think.
These are the
fun
ones I definitely know way better than this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't know. That one's not exactly one of their more popular songs either from a band that had some pretty big hits.
Mm-hmm.
So anything on this list that you were thinking of, Melissa, that wasn't on there? Because I've got a couple that I right away thought of, and in part because of our bumpers.
Yeah. Well, you go first then.
Basically anything from Prince, When Doves Cry, Raspberry Beret, 1999.
Yeah. Everybody sings along with that one.
I love singing along to those. Those are good ones. I would say a lot of 80s stuff, like The Clash, like Rock the Casbah or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Fun songs by The Cure.
Mm-hmm. And certainly a lot of jazz. I love singing along to jazz in the car. I find it calms me. It can relax my tone here a little bit. Let's go ahead and find out what you guys are listening to out there. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed they don't have any country music on there.
Right?
On that list. Garth Brooks, Rent in Most Places. Come on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think in part because the survey was done in England. I think that's a little part of it, but that doesn't excuse them. Mm-mm. You know, they got country music over there too. I feel similar to not having a lot of the like Sinatra or Dean Martin or some of that. Like, how many people have heard My Way in the car and sung along to it or something? You know,
all right.
I see what you're saying. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And great references right there. Do you have a go to, sir?
Well, I mean, a lot of times I guess I can, you know, because. You know, it's got to be 80s, you know, rock and
music.
You know, I grew up in the 80s. But, you know, another one I was kind of disappointed it wasn't on the list was In the Air Tonight with Phil Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they get to that drum solo, you drive it on the road all of a sudden. You got to start beating on the drums just like he did.
You do the drum beat right on your steering wheel. You do it. You do it. Yep. So good. That's so good. Great call. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
Oh, I'm glad he brought up country, though, because that is one for me that I do like to rock out to is Gretchen Wilson, Redneck Woman, or Here for the Party.
Right on.
Yeah. 'Cause I'm a redneck woman. I ain't no high class broad.
I love. Speaking of country, I like singing "Ring of Fire." I really love singing that song.
I fell into the burning ring of fire.
Oh, I just love singing that song. I don't know if I sing it well, but I've sung that song a lot in my life. Along with like "Hey Jude" from the Beatles, a lot of Beatles songs. "Hello Goodbye" is probably my favorite one to sing of the Beatles. It's such a fun song, and I feel like tone wise, I actually can hang a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie May from Rod Stewart. It's another one.
Being that this was done in. You said England?
Yeah.
I can't believe that Seal songs didn't make the list.
Oh.
Who doesn't rock out to "Kiss from a Rose" or "Fly Like an Eagle"? Come on.
Yeah. Be honest with yourselves.
Fly like an eagle.
"Kiss from a Rose" comes on the radio, and if you're from a certain generation, you're going
to sing along.
Yep. You may be hesitant you think you're going to change the channel, but you don't. You don't. You're stuck there. And you take a second where you look around and see if any of your friends are looking. Okay. All right. And then you start. Ba, 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 ba. You get into it. You're so right about this. "Born to Be Wild" from Steppenwolf. That just popped in my head. I know for me, "Rio" from Duran Duran is a fun one. Trying to think here. I think I'm really showing myself here because I do this a lot in the car, people. I do this a lot. Oh, Fleetwood Mac's "The Chain." That's a good one. That one just popped in my head. That's one of those ones, though, where it's not as much about singing, like the caller was saying about "In the Air Tonight." You sing with it, but it's all about the bum, 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 bum,
right.
And doing
it's
that.
It's more the music.
For me, "The Chain" is all about the buildup. It's that classic guitar coming in, that steel and stuff. Like, yeah, this is a fun one. There's a lot. Had a caller mention Lady Gaga's "Poker Face."
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a good
Lady
one.
Lady Gaga's got some really fun ones, too. Mm-hmm.
We could talk the whole hour on this one.
We could. It wouldn't be hard.
keep those suggestions coming, everybody. We'd love... Oh, "Girls Just Want to Have Fun" just came in from Cyndi Lauper. Okay.
"Girls Just Want to Have Fun."
We are going to get to Melissa's news, but keep these coming, everybody. We love having fun with you. Love talking with you here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Ow. It's one of the funkiest songs you will ever hear. Cameo, "Word Up." Another great song to sing in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't sing this song. I don't care if you were born with zero rhythm. You get into this one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Marcus Day's funk. Like, just the way he sings.
Well, and the fun part is you can sing along because you have no idea what he's saying.
Yes, yes.
You just make up the words as you go.
Absolutely.
It's more about the sound.
Absolutely. It's such a good song.
You just don't care. Okay, you know that part.
Strangely, maybe not, the best cover I've ever, one of the best covers I've ever heard is Korn doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They do a really good job of it. It's a really good... And the video is awesome. The music video is awesome. It's like one of the last good music videos I've seen. It was a good one.
Cool.
Let's talk meteor showers, Milo. Let's go ahead and get into that. The Pertised meteor shower peaks this weekend, specifically late Saturday night going into Sunday morning. Here are some tips to give you the best shot at seeing some shooting stars.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to our good friend Paul Chompley from the WeatherEye Weather Center, and a shout out to him and the team over there this morning about this. Paul giving us a little insight that there may be an opportunity for us here in the Wisconsin area, mm-hmm. in the Midwest, to be able to see this. Never a bad idea to look up, you know, whether you see it or not. Maybe you see some constellations or something. It's always worth looking at that sky. Never a rerun. Never a rerun up there.
No, very true.
You know, if you're looking for some entertainment, look up.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the first tip. Go to a spot away from city lights. The best viewing is going to be under a dark sky with no clouds, far away from city lights and street lamps.
Mm-hmm. Going to be in the dark.
Yeah. Wear warm clothing. Even in the summer months, it can get pretty cold sitting outside waiting around for a meteor shower. You should have a jacket, a blanket, and maybe a warm beverage like hot cocoa or something.
Ooh, that sounds good. Coffee if you need help staying awake at night.
Yeah. A friend of mine who lives out west was in Arizona and is not familiar with Arizona. And her and her boyfriend and I think their dad, the boyfriend's dad, they were going to go. They wanted to go see the Grand Canyon. But where they were in Arizona, they traveled. And by the time they got there, it was dark. And so they really couldn't see anything. And the temperature dropped like 30 degrees on them.
Oh, yeah. It gets cold in the desert at night.
It's apparently warmer in southern Arizona than it is in northern Arizona by quite a bit, at least from what they experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense.
I dealt with that a lot in California. Nobody warned you about that stuff. walking around in shorts and a Dago tee and then boom, you know, the cold hits you.
I think that's called a wife pleaser now.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Nicely done. I'll have full circle. Full circle. Good callback. A red flashlight you're also going to want to bring with you.
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't distort your vision as you're trying to walk out to where you're going to watch.
Oh, yeah. Regular
red light. Yeah, red light doesn't hurt your night vision.
Right on. Yeah, yeah. Regular flashlights are even your phone emit too much bright light to allow your eyes to adjust to the darkness. If you want a chance seeing the fainter meteors, it might be worth picking up a red light flashlight. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. I wouldn't have thought of that.
The other thing you can do if you don't have a red light flashlight is cover one eye. And only use one eye to walk wherever you're going to, and then to look up the meteors, cover the eye that was exposed to the light, and keep the one that was to the dark up to the sky.
I've learned that only because as a little kid on the top of a high rise in Chicago, I you know, all the light pollution and everything going on over there along with all the other pollution, you don't see a whole lot. But I do remember seeing the first time I saw a constellation was on the top of that high rise. And I'm straining to see it so much, and I ended up covering an eye to try to see it, and it just showed me right there. Okay, hey, that's a good way to do that. But since that moment, and I had to have been 9, 10 years old or something like that, I didn't even know what they were called at the time, I'll be honest, a telescope. One of those. Yeah, I think everybody's got like a wish list or a list of things that they're going to get one day and stuff. And they just, you know, they keep meaning to and they haven't. That is like at number one on my list is a telescope.
Nice.
I've wanted one of those since I was a little kid. Now, one day I will have one. And specifically for nights like this weekend and everything, being able to see things like this. I think that's pretty darn cool. Again, no reruns up there, everybody. You know, not going to or bad episodes or anything like that. It's always entertaining up top. A chair with a chair that reclines.
Oh yeah, that's a good one, because then you don't hurt your neck.
Yeah, watching for meteors involves a lot of looking up at the sky, which can strain your neck. Your best option, laying flat on the ground or using a recliner. And the number one thing they suggest, patience.
Yes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. It feels like a parent made this list, though. I gotta admit. It does feel a little bit like, you know.
But they forgot snacks.
Oh, yeah, they did. They did. Good one,
so
Melissa.
A parent, a dad may have made this list. It wasn't a mom.
Oh, yeah. Well played. That's so good. You're so right about that. I've done this where I've got everything packed for my kids to go to the zoo. I've got, you know, even stuff like extra diapers and things like that.
You probably remembered the sunscreen.
Yep. Did not remember the snacks. Did not remember that one. I've actually
very
done
important
that.
Very important thing.
I'm turning red over here at that one. Yes.
Well, and especially since the best views of this are probably going to be between midnight to sunrise, so yeah. You're going to want snacks.
Yeah, and you're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to be patient. It could take about 30 minutes for your eyes to adjust to the dark and resist the urge to look at your phone because the light will mess up your night vision.
Yep.
That's something to keep in mind too when you're trying to sleep at night. You know, it's a nice reminder of that.
Yeah, we forget that from time to time because we look at everything on our phones now. I even read books on my phone. I do always turn the brightness down.
Good on you.
As low as it
goes.
Good on
you. Good on you for doing that and remembering to do that. I forget a lot. I got to send some homework home with everybody. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
But if you happen to try to do this weekend and take this in, Monday, join us on the show. Call in.
Yeah, we want to hear about it.
Want to hear about the experience. Want to hear how it went for you. So you got a little homework this weekend, everybody. Sorry. Just a little bit. Just a little bit, though.
I got to tell you quick. When I was a kid, my dad would, when we'd have a meteor shower, he would take us up and let us lay on the roof and watch.
Oh, is that
which
cool?
We just thought was so awesome. Like, we're on the roof, man.
Yeah. Oh,
this is so cool.
That is awesome. Oh, that is really cool. We will come back with something not as cool, that Ain't Right story, along with some cool stuff with our local good stories of the day. Got that all coming up and plenty more on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you to take it at the top of the hour, wrap up the week of some great shows. Thank you so much for joining us, all the calls you've given us, all the feedback. We greatly appreciate you. Best listeners in radio, every one of you. We got the Ain't Right story we got to get to real quick here, Melissa. If you ask people one of their least favorite places on Earth, chances are it's usually a parking lot. Very few times have you gone to a big place like a Target, a Walmart, or something like that and left and been like, man, that was a great parking lot.
I love the parking lot.
I'm not sure anybody has ever said that in human history. Unless it was followed with a heavy sarcasm.
Unless they were like, there was like a party in the parking lot or something.
Yeah.
Trunk or treat kind of thing.
Right. And I feel like most people feel this way. Most people get this, except for the people that are actually doing this. Target will now allow people to pick up Starbucks coffee through their service there. They're going to have basically a drive-up Starbucks in the parking lot.
Oh.
They've already tested it in several locations, and it'll be available at all locations with an in-store Starbucks by October. That's most of them. A rep says our guests have long told us drive-up is a game changer, adding convenience to their daily life, especially when they're short on time. Starbucks will bring even more ease and joy to every Target run. The one saving grace is that a Starbucks pickup at a Target can't be as spontaneous as an actual Starbucks drive-thru. So they're saying that will help things out. So here's how it'll work. You order whatever Target stuff you want and select the drive-up option. You get notified of the items available, then prompts you to pull up to Target and pick it up. You pull up to the curbside pickup space, and they bring your Target stuff and your freshly prepared coffee.
And your coffee. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not going to be as much of a headache as it feels like on paper. I don't know, but...
No, James, I see this taking off because next Walmart is going to jump on and they'll deliver Subway to your car because they have Subways in them.
Yep,
you know, it's all about convenience now. People and the pandemic really changed that for us with, we need to have ways of not... Who doesn't want an excuse to not go in the store, especially Walmart?
You're right. Yes, yes. No argument here. You're right about that.
And while Target is maybe slightly different, it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, truly is. Yeah. We need a palate cleanser. Let's get some stories of the day. Some of that is our programming here at WFHR. Join us from 3 to 4 today. Great stuff to wrap up Midday Magazine for the week. In part one, Pastor Eric Hammock, Hambrook, is going to be with us to talk Love, Inc. and their junk electronic drop-off event coming up.
Oh, yeah. That's coming up on the 19th, I think, right?
Yeah. And thanks to our friends at Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, I get to talk a little baseball to wrap up the week. The Wisconsin Rapids Red Hawks Baseball Club is going to be joining us. We're going to bring people's attention to that, talk a little bit about it.
You don't like to talk about sports, James. Like, who scheduled this?
I know. It's crazy. I don't know. I'll have nothing to talk about. I'll have to think of something for Playmakers on Monday. That's for sure. We're definitely going to be talking Rafters on Playmakers on Monday. Rafters are in what could be possibly their final series of the season this weekend.
It's possible.
Hosting Green Bay a couple of days. So while we can't guarantee a playoff run, we can guarantee two more games of Rafter baseball for 2023.
Get to Witterfield if you can.
Yep, fill up the ballpark. Let's show them what home field advantage is. Let's show them how much we appreciate them, everybody. When you're cheering your Rafters on this weekend, think about all these host families that host these players, all these kids coming to our town from sometimes the other side of the country just to come and chase their dream down here at Witterfield. We are so spoiled in this town when it comes to our local sports. Thank you, Rafters. Thank you for a great season. Let's keep it rolling, Rats. Let's keep it rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Seth and I are going to talk about the Rafters and high school sports and a lot more on Playmakers on Monday. Be sure to join us for that. As the Rafters are covering the weekend, we, of course, are not going to have as much of our original programming. Seth Faces the Music. He's going to have a new one for you there.
Nice.
Be sure to join him from that for 6 to 8. Director's Cut, we're going to have a rerun. But next Sunday, we've got Mary Jo Pearl from Mystery Science Theater joining us.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear that episode.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Be sure to join us
for
that. You
guys had so much fun doing it.
And of course, join us every Saturday morning for the Sunshine Polka Show. One of the best shows we have on the radio.
Yeah,
be sure to check
Tim's
that
great.
Out. That's a good one coming up. If you get a chance this weekend, encourage you to take in the 4th annual 2023 Run, Walk, Roll from the ODC. That is going on August 13th through the 19th. Be sure to get in on that. Register everybody. And, of course, the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge is going strong. You've got time to get in on this. We've got donation opportunities coming up on the 15th here in town in McMillan Library in the former East Junior High School Music Room. The Stevens Point Blood Donation Center is always got something every day.
Oh, they have often. Yep.
Get on over there and donate. Be a hero. Appreciate everybody that's already gotten in on this. Take a selfie. Use the hashtag CivicPints and upload that on all your social media. Or you can go to civicmedia.us/giveblood and upload it there. Get yourself a chance to win some state fair tickets and brewer
tickets. Fill out the form. You can win some Civic Media merch.
Melissa, great show. Thanks so much for
hanging
out.
Yeah, you too, James. It was a fun Friday.
Yeah. Have a good weekend, Mo.
You as well.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll meet you back here on Monday. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here on Mornings at WFHR.